Okay, I come this morning, you probably know, representing the Gideons International. The Gideons are from every evangelical Protestant church. So we are actually, even though not in the church budget, we are your missionaries. Every dollar that you contribute to the Gideons goes to purchase scriptures. In about 200 countries or territories around the world. So I would like to start just with one verse, Mark 15, Mark 16, where Jesus said, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I know that you and I can't go into every country, all around the world, but in providing God's word to the other Christians in these other countries, we are in essence going, because we all know the economy of the world, and many countries, they could not provide scriptures enough to distribute in their own countries. So last year, with your help, all the congregations in various ways, we distributed 87 million copies of God's Word around the world. And why? Well, I would like to read Romans 10. We'll start with verse 13, Romans 10, 13 through 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we can't be with every scripture we distribute, and I don't mean just here in the United States, around the world. But the Holy Spirit is. It's been said, and maybe you've heard it many times, the Bible is the only book that the author is always with. As we distribute it, the Holy Spirit touches lives. And that's what the main message is this morning, in how he did touch lives. So God is blessing us as we distributed his word in hotels, hospitals, universities, high schools, middle schools, police and military personnels, jails. That seems kind of an odd place, doesn't it? But we have a couple of ways when a Bible that's put in a hotel or motel is soiled, we go once a year, usually in April, and visit all the rooms where there's a Bible. And if it's been destroyed, hurt in any way, sometimes pages are torn out, sometimes people write in it, sometimes write things that are not really too nice. So we take them out, put in a clean one, a good one, and then they go to jail. Now, some jails, some prisons, will not let a Bible with a hard cover in. So we just cut the hard cover off and paste on a soft cover, and then they can go in. And we have many testimonies come back of people that were in jail that read one of those and come to know Christ. In particular, there's one that I don't know exactly how to put it. I know the man. He was not from around here, but I've met him. He was raised, he grew up in one of the suburbs of Chicago. His father was a dentist. He was going to be a dentist. He was in his last semester of dental school, but he had succumbed to the world. He started using drugs back earlier, and he was a dealer. He was dealing drugs. And not only that, he was also homosexual. He woke up one day with a knock on the door, and there were some federal policemen and a couple dogs. He had just received a shipment, and he wound up in prison. But he was also kicked out of school, of course, so he lost that. And so while he was in the prison, one day he was called to the prison's nurse. He went to the office. She didn't say anything. She just slid a paper across to him. On that paper were three letters and an emblem. It said HIV plus. Now, he had been a major drug supplier for the Southeast, and he had been in the homosexual business, so that's what happened. He went back to his cell. It was more than one person in the cell. He was on the lower bunk, and on the top one he looked up, and there was written across there, Jeremiah 29:11. So we went and found the Bible, and I have it marked here, so it shouldn't take me long to get here. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He'd been almost estranged from his parents because of his life activities, but he called his mother and said, "Send me an application for a Bible school." So in a week or so, he got an application. It turned out that it was Moody Bible Institute. One of the requirements on that application was three references. Now, how does a jailer, a person in jail, get three references to Moody Bible Institute? Well, one was a chaplain, one was a Christian guard. I don't know, remember who the third one was, but they accepted him. And later he became an adjunct Bible teacher at Moody. What God's word will do if it's available for them. And so I've known about Christopher Yuen for some time. And so we might go on in for, I don't know when it started, back in the, probably the late 80s or early 90s, the Gideons started going into the Bureau County Jail. And it wound up that we go in every Saturday afternoon when we can. And some of our wives, auxiliary, go in and minister to the women in jail, the girls. And we've had many testimonies come back from those who are saved. And, you know, we think everybody in the United States should have a Bible. And they could have, but they don't. One was arrested up on Route 80 for hauling drugs. And he got time not in Bureau County Jail, but also in state prison. He wrote a letter back to one of the Gideons who had been going in and having Bible studies with him, that he was thankful to God for being arrested in Bureau County. That was the first time in his life that anyone had ever introduced him to Jesus. So that's the way God deals. And that's why we go in. There are many others in jails. Let's go around the world, because there are a lot of countries. In Romania, there was a church having a baptism, and a man stopped them and said, "I'd like to have a word with you." And he said 15 years earlier, he had stopped them. He was an officer in the army. He had stopped that group from having a baptism service. But not long after that, the Gideons came to the army post where he was, and they distributed testaments, and he took one, probably because others did, but not necessarily knowing what it was, and he read, he accepted Christ. And now he was there going to be baptized, because we go to the armies also. The Gideons in Ukraine went to a middle school, and the whatever they called headmaster, whatever, wouldn't let the Gideons make a presentation of testament. And one of them, Gideon, said, "Have you ever read one of these books?" And she said, "No." They said, "Would you?" This one is Spanish, not, but we distributed in something like 90 languages. And so she took one, and read, and a few months later, she called to get in and said, would you come and give each of my students a testament? And they said, yes. So they did. And at the end of the presentation, she said, now, children, you have just received the book of books. We will read from it every day. And now and then we'll have a test. So sometimes when we hand out a testament, it's like throwing a rock in a pool of water. The rings just keep getting bigger and bigger. We never know where that stops. Sometimes the testament that we give to someone does not stay with that person. I would like to tell you of a distribution in the country of Colombia. A girl took a testament along with the others. When she got home, she laid it on the table, and her father, when he went to work the next day, he wanted to know what she had gotten. So he picked the testament up and put it in his pocket. He got to work. He worked in a mine. There was a mine accident. And so he was sealed off. When they finally got the shaft opened up, and there were other men in there also with him. He wasn't alone. In the back of all our testaments, I wish I could read Spanish so I could tell what that is for you, but it's the same in all of the testaments. And what it says, God loves you, and a couple verses, and tells where they are. All are sinners, God's remedy for sin. All may be saved now. My decision to receive Christ as my Savior and seeking a church, assurance as a believer. When they finally got to these men and found what they had, they found this testament on this man, and here his name was signed in the back. But as they looked, it wasn't just his name. There were 30 names written on that page also. So sometimes a testament does bear much more fruit than just the one we give to. I might tell you about a distribution that the Gideons up at Kishwaukee College up by DeKalb, they were making a distribution, and a girl came up to them and thanked them for that, and she had taken one the year before. But as she was walking out afterward, she saw a car drive up to a stop sign, and they turned, and one of the people in the car threw something out into the ditch. She didn't think anything about it. She went on. But she worked at a place kind of like for handicapped people or people in time of difficulty. And a man came in that she could tell was not a student. But he had a green testament, which we always give to the university and college students. And she asked where he got it. He said, well, I was out walking out by Kishwaukee College, and there it was laying there in the ditch. So I went and picked it up. And that's kind of secondhand, but it was still God's word. So, what anything you give to the Gideons, some stays here for us to use, and some, a good share of it, goes for other lands, and some is directly to the military for distribution, and just one of the things we use, not only Bibles and hotels. You all know the difficulties of anything related to God getting in schools. So we do a few sidewalk distributions, and we have a booth at the Bureau County Fair every year distributing between 900 to 1,100 testaments during the fair. So that's one of the local places where the distributions go. We've had a few opportunities. I've had two opportunities to go to Nigeria to help the Nigerian Gideons make distributions. In 2 weeks, the first time, we distributed just under 300,000. The second time, it was over 500,000. They set up the distributions, and a team will go and help them. And sometimes it really makes a difference. There was a country, a small country in Africa, Zambia. There was kind of a revolutionary who the government didn't like at all. But he was kind of hiding. He was in a small hotel. There was a Bible on the stand, and he was reading it. And late the night, there was a knock on the door. He was arrested. But that was one thing he could take. He took this Bible, but he was arrested. He was in for 2 years. He got out. But he was one of the leaders of this revolutionary group. And as time went on, things changed. And the government changed. But Frederick Chiliba was now president, not a revolutionary leader fighting the government. So it does have effect. There was a banker in Nigeria who was going to meet a woman in a hotel. As he opened the door to go into her room, he saw laying there on the nightstand a Bible. The Holy Spirit touched his heart. It convicted him. He told her, "I can't be here like this." So he left. He went and the next day and visited a pastor, and he accepted Christ just because the influence of the Bible there. There one young man, I say young, he isn't young anymore, but he was when this happened. I've known Randy Bjork for many years. He was born and grew up in New York. When he graduated from high school, his goal was to find the college that was noted for parties. And he found one in New York that was noted for having parties. So he went there, and he was getting along good. The Gideons came and made a distribution on the campus. He wasn't interested in a testament, but a buddy took one. So if it was good enough for a buddy, it was good enough for Randy. So he took it, and he said they read a little bit from it each night, even though some nights they were so drunk they could hardly read. It was blurry, but they still read a little bit. But by reading those testaments, Randy in particular accepted Christ. And he became a great warrior for God in the ministry. There are several ways that you can help. Like it was in the announcements that there's a plate over here if you would like to contribute any to further God's work as fulfilling going into all the world. You can do, but in your bulletin insert, there was an envelope that is self-addressed. Excuse me. At any time, you can send that to the Gideons. We have cards in memory. If you would like to donate Bibles in memory of someone or in honor and recognition, these cards are provided free. Those of you who are computer literate, much more, I say, kind of question because I'm not real, but we have one, but I'm not really. We have a program called Friends of the Gideons. You can go online, www.gideons.org, and look for Friends of the Gideons. And by signing up with that, you get prayer requests, the opportunity to give, and just the overall Gideon ministry. If you would like a brochure, I have a few of those. So we thank you for this opportunity to come. Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. How do we do that? We pray. So I would like to suggest that if the Gideons are not on your prayer list, you put it on. Not necessarily just the Gideons, but the opportunity to go into other countries and distribute God's word so that, as in Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If they've never had it, how can they hear it? How can they read it? So that's the opportunity that we have, is to get the word out. And actually, we put a Bible in a hotel room. They're $5. But a testament, the average price of the testament around the world in other lands is about $1.19. And the Gideons do use the best available ways that the world has. It used to be up to $1.30, $1.35, but through various ways, one of the reasons that it was priced, a lot of the packages of Bibles were stolen off of docks. So they started in sending in containers. When you can send 500 to 1 million in a container, there aren't so many stolen. They get to where they're to go. They were distributing about 1 million a month in India. India is one of the higher population countries in the world. China, I think, is the highest. And we are not officially organized in China, but we don't go any place without the government knowing. And headquarters has dealt with the, I don't know what it would be in China, an education department, but we can distribute we've distributed between 2 and 3 million now in 14 provinces in China through churches, Christian bookstores, things like that. So doors are opening. But still, when we're in the range of 85 to 90 million a year, there are doors that are still open. Well, maybe we're closing. So I thank you for this time to share a little bit, for you to hear how God is blessing the work. We're only missionaries, and while here, we don't think, back in Acts, they were told they were to go to, they went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But we're in our own Jerusalem. There's work to do here as well as in other parts of the world. So we thank you for this time to hear what God is doing with the scriptures that are placed here in Bureau County, in the United States, as well as other countries. So in closing, our Father, we praise you and thank you for who you are, what you've done for each of us. Lord, may we be bold to go to share your word to others, that they may hear it, they may understand your love for them. So dismiss us to go and serve you in the place that you placed us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.